I want to say again how much I appreciate you young folks being willing to be here in this meeting and to participate in the services. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. I want to tell you that there is a special part in the Lord's work that you can do. And you will look back on these years with fond memories. You're going to be building relationships. And I trust that those relationships will endure. I'll say this, if things go true to form, as I look back over my years growing up and the young people that I was with in my time, I'll have to tell you, it's about 50-50. About half of them will go away and follow their own course of life. And others will make honest effort to try to serve the Lord. I ask you this evening to say, Lord, don't let it be me that goes away. You don't have to. God will keep you if you allow Him, as you just had in this song. He can be forever yours. But may the Lord bless us this evening. I desire your prayers. We look in the Scriptures for a little bit this evening. I want you to know that the gospel is a practical, working gospel. It's easy for us to make it complicated. And I hear people talk sometimes about the struggles they have trying to live for the Lord. And I listen to what they say. And I realize that they have tried to take on things in their life that the Lord hasn't convicted them of yet. They're trying to do it in their own strength and in their own power. And it becomes work and it becomes a drudgery when you try to do it in your own strength and your own power, because there's not any real passion in it. But the Lord has a working, a practical, simple plan. To boil it down, it says this: He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now we can make that very complicated, and we can start thinking that because I see other people living this way, and I hear them talk about what they do and don't do and where they go and don't go. I'll tell you folks, as I was growing up a young man, there were things that I heard that I didn't understand. I tried to incorporate them in my life, and the truth is they brought some barriers and safety to me. But it never really brought the blessing until the Lord illuminated in my mind, in my life, and He helped me to understand what it was He wanted. And then, I find, as we heard in the meeting earlier, there was a time in my life too that I served the Lord because I was afraid of hell. I served the Lord because I didn't want to burn in eternity. But I serve the Lord now for a different motivation, because I have found that He loves me. And I have found that He blesses me and He helps me. And I found that as a God, He is a God that cares about everything in your life, in my life. And I serve Him now, not because of a fear of hell, although that is still real, but I serve Him now because He is God and He has proven Himself to be Lord, Master, and Redeemer. The burden I have this evening has to do with the process of being filled with the Holy Ghost, being sanctified, being consecrated. It's easy to lump all of those things into one ball. Have you ever felt confused about that word sanctification? Have you ever felt confused about consecration? Have you ever felt confused about being filled with the Holy Ghost? I have been. The Lord, again, has a practical gospel and a practical plan that works for everyone. None accepted. None accepted. The Lord has a plan that will work with you in your life. He understands who you are. He understands your background. He understands every component in your life. He knows who reared you. He knows the things that you were taught. He knows the discipline that you have had in your life. He knows where there have been abuses. He knows where there have been those things that cause you to have a confusion or a lack of understanding or maybe an incapability of actually being able to process some information. That happens to people. There are things that we spoke about earlier in this meeting. Our circumstances around us in life mold us and shape us. Now, I understand that the Scripture says that old things are passed away, all things become new, and we're a new creature. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you the practical side of it. I still deal with this, my flesh, day in and day out. I spoke earlier in the meeting about not being able to really comprehend what it's like to live in an urban environment, because I was born in a rural setting. That's all I've ever been in. I've never been in the city where the skyscrapers are. I've never lived in those kind of situations. Now, I've been in them, and I'll be honest with you, it makes me uneasy. Because what? I wasn't reared there. I was reared with wide open spaces where I could look out across the land and I could, anytime I wanted to, I could go outside with my shotgun or my rifle and I could shoot, I could target practice, pellet gun. You know, you can't really do that in an urban environment. So I don't have that understanding, but the Lord knows every situation. He knows you, He knows what your surroundings are and the components, all the ingredients in your life. What He does want to do is impart something of Himself to us to help us to be successful in this life, no matter where you are or where you're from. Now, Jesus said in the book of John, in the 16th chapter, the 12th verse, and I know we've heard messages already in this meeting concerning the Holy Ghost and consecration, but if you'll bear with me, I feel like the Lord has given me this to share. Jesus, in His last hours with the disciples, spoke to them in these few chapters here in the book of John, 14, 15, 16, 17. He shared some very heartfelt things with them. He knew that it was about to be over as far as His earthly influence, His human fleshly influence with them. And He had just a little time left. And you may have heard me say this before. But I'd like to ask us, those of us who are parents or grandparents, you have children, if you knew that you only had a few hours of life left, what would you say to your children? What are the first things you would say? What's the most important thing to say to them? How could you really know? I've tried to think of that sometimes lying on my bed at night. If that was my lot, if that was the case, what would I choose to say first? What would I choose to say next? If I had to do them in 1, 2, 3, and 4, how would I categorize them if I only had a little time left and I knew it was over? I've been in a whirl over that because I don't know what I would say first. How to address those things, because there's a lot of things that are important. Well, Jesus felt that same way with the disciples. He knew that His time of influence with them, physical, fleshly influence with them, was about to be done. He knew that He was about to go to the cross. He knew, as we've spoken earlier, that they would be scattered. He knew that Judas would betray Him. He knew that Peter, although Peter says, I'll never do it, Lord, He knew that Peter was going to be one that would say, I never knew Him. He knew that. So He said to them in verse 12 of John chapter 16, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I have a lot of things that I could impart to you, but you can't take it all right now. Not too long ago, we had in the adult Sunday school class of the Bible lessons the gifts of the Holy Ghost. As we were discussing that in the Sunday school class, I thought of the benefits and all the things that the Lord does for us. I want to ask you a question this evening. Those of you who have loved the Lord and made an honest effort to serve Him for many years, have you learned anything in life? Have you learned anything about the Lord? Have you learned anything about yourself? Have you been through some very sharp, keen situations, battles in life? Have you learned anything about the Lord and about yourself in those battles? What if at the time that you went to an altar of prayer and you said, Lord, I want to be consecrated to You. I want to be sanctified. I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. What if at that point, everything that you would ever need in life, that you would experience, just fell on you at that moment? How could we take that? Can I tell you, from my perspective, I would very likely at that point is when I'd want to get up and take off running and hope nobody could ever find me. That's to be able to have those kinds of, all of that fall on you at one time. But what the Lord has done is He's made His plan of salvation, His full plan of salvation, a very practical plan of salvation, one that works and is a benefit to humanity. One that will benefit you every step of your journey in living for the Lord. When you start the process of trying to understand what it is the Lord wants you to do, have you ever been in a quandary trying to understand the will of the Lord in your life? I have. Have you ever been in a quandary where I say, Lord, I know that there's an answer. I've been praying and I know there's an answer to this, but what is it? Sometimes we find that the Lord is silent. And sometimes we get anxious, we get excited, and we find that the Lord's not speaking to us or revealing Himself to us, but He's allowing us to feel a little bit alone. The Lord, again, His practical plan of salvation is teaching us to use and exercise faith in believing. Because the Scripture says, He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I can't stop. I have to continue. And I believe, in faith, believing that there is a God and that He will reward those who diligently seek Him. So I continue asking. Jesus, again, He said, I have these many things to say to you, but you can't bear it all now. He said in the 14th chapter, I will not leave you comfortless. We heard that that word comfortless means orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Folks, that is a real security blessing to know that the Lord said, I'm not going to leave you alone. Yeah. You may feel that way. It might look that way. It's going to look to you like I am totally taken off of the scene. You're going to see me crucified. You're going to see the color leave my body. You're going to watch me turn pale, and you're going to see them put me in the tomb. And it's going to look to you as though you're left alone. But He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. My words to you this evening is that the Lord will come to us through His Holy Spirit and make Himself known to us so that we don't feel like orphans as we go through life. We learn, He says in His Scriptures, He talks about which of you having a father, a son, and he comes to you asking for a fish, will you give him an egg, a scorpion, or an egg and give him a stone? Which one of you would do that to your son? And the Lord says, how much more then will your Father give good things to those that ask of Him? The Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to give you those things. In 14 and 26 of John, He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Bring all things to your remembrance. Part of the office of the Holy Spirit is to remind you of who God is. to remind us that He is in heaven and we're here on earth. To remind us that He is a heavenly Father. Have you ever, the things that you have been taught in your Sunday school class, the things that the Lord has visited you with from time to time, the things that maybe you're, have you ever been in a situation where you're maybe going down the highway or you're mowing the yard or you're on the job and you, all of a sudden the Lord comes by and He pays you a visit and you say, surely I'll remember this. Have you always been able to remember this? I haven't. I have found myself having to stop the vehicle and get a piece of paper and jot down some key words right quick so I can remember some of those things and try to go back and look at it later. But here's what I find. It's not quite the same later. The moment. The Holy Ghost for the moment is revealing Himself to you, teaching you, leading you, guiding you, letting you know that He hasn't left you. Letting you know that He is present. Letting you know He's there to guide, to instruct, to correct. He's there to help you. When we seek the Lord for that second work of His grace, the sanctification, we put ourselves in a place at that point to be set apart for use for the Lord. To have His presence with us, to guide us day in and day out. And there's another aspect of that part of God that He begins to work with. I want to turn to the book of Job. Chapter 23. Verse 8, words of Job, he says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." When he hath tried me. Albert Barnes' commentary on the New Testament makes this comment concerning this Holy Spirit and the need of that infilling power and refining power that the Lord has for us. These are his words. "There is often much alloy in the piety of a Christian." I want you to hear that. I think it bears repeating. There is often much alloy in the piety of a Christian. Have you ever had the Lord turn up the heat under you? I mentioned earlier in this meeting, many times we think we understand a situation. We think we can see the needs of a situation. We think we have it figured out. We think that we understand it all. We have our prejudices and our preconceived notions about things because of our surroundings, because of who we are. And we have alloy. Alloy. We have alloy in our lives, and the Lord wants to use His sanctifying power to remove the alloy out of the piety of the Christian. We can have, folks, we can have misunderstanding. We can have misconceptions about who God is, about who each other are. We can have misconceptions about what piety is and what holiness is. We can have misconceptions about those kinds of things. And the Lord wants to use His Holy Spirit to bring the heat along in life to teach us how to get rid of those alloys. He says, "As there's much alloy in the piety of a Christian, as there is in gold, that needs to be removed by the fiery trial of affliction. Nothing else will remove it but trial, as nothing will be so effectual a purifier of gold as intense heat." One of the reasons that we must move on into the second work of God's grace is because there are things in our lives that if we're not careful, if we don't get rid of those things, will stifle They will stifle the fire that God has tried to kindle inside of us. If we don't get rid of those things, they'll put a wet blanket on our experience and we'll not be able to be successful in a long-term relationship for the Lord. He didn't design and desire for us to stay in a place of just being saved, salvation only, but He designed us to have a relationship with Him. And I think I mentioned, maybe it was yesterday morning, I don't remember for sure, how this sanctifying process and the Holy Ghost process, the breathing, the breath of God that gives life, that when we're saved, it's like we've been rescued from a dead state. And we have hope because there's the CPR and there's life support where the Lord is giving, holding us, sustaining us. But then by His breath, breathing life to us, we become a new creature, a new life for Him. And we have opportunity then to move forward and to gain. The Lord said to His disciples, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear it now. The Lord says for every one of us, when we first get saved, when we first put our all on the altar. Oh, there's another phrase. How many times have you heard that? Put it all on the altar. How many times have you had to go back and put more of your all on the altar after you first put all on the altar? I'm asking, we can get confused about those kinds of things. When you first go to the Lord and you put it all on the altar, it's all that you understand, all that you see, all that you know. And the Lord, in His love and His mercy, breathing life, constantly infusing life to you, allows you to see, as we advance in life, that there are things that, in my piety as a Christian, that has alloy and needs to be moved out of the way, purged. So it allows the heat to be turned up. As we go through experiences in life, we heard this evening about a one-year-old boy with cancer in his eye. Can I tell you something about this little one-year-old boy with cancer in his eye? This is fire. This is heat. And if the individuals involved allow God to have His way, He will use circumstances like that to turn up the heat, to allow there to be more dross pulled off of the top, so we can have a deeper and more clear understanding of who God is and His love and His mercy towards us. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not that God wants to afflict a one-year-old child, but He uses those circumstances to help people know more about themselves and who God really is. He'll use those circumstances. I may have told you, a grandson with leukemia, and I remember going into a room one time in the hospital, in Children's Hospital, going to a little chapel area and wanting to speak to the Lord, desperately needing something from the Lord to carry through a next dark phase. Can I tell you, being honest with you, if you serve the Lord, if you make it your aim to serve the Lord, make it your purpose to serve the Lord, there will be times you'll feel like Job. I looked for you on the left. I looked for you on the right. I looked for you here. I looked for you here. And I couldn't find you anywhere. At that moment is when we realize our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. And we rest on that. We hold to that. So I was in that little room. And I walked in and I stood a little bit. And I said, Lord, I want to talk to you. I don't know what to say. I don't have words to say. So I stood there a little bit longer. And I said, I want to say thank you. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being there. Even though we are in difficult circumstances, folks, when we know God is there, He uses them to purify us. To take our preconceived notions, our prejudices, our ideas about situations, circumstances that we can't see the end of. No way that you and I can know the battle that another individual is going through. The things that drives them to their knees, that drives them to a place of humility before the Lord. He wants to use these circumstances, these things in life. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear it all now. It's going to take a lifetime. A lifetime. I want to encourage you, young people, if you seek to serve the Lord and you seek for that infilling presence of His Holy Spirit in your life and you want to understand who God is, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, remain faithful. He'll work with you in your situation as you are now, in your teens, in your adolescence, in your youth. He'll guide you along the way as you mature in life, as you start to understand more of the things around you. God will use those events to shape you and mold you and cause you to be the alloy, the piety that you feel right now. I'm not accusing you of doing anything wrong, but folks, all of us as human beings, every one of us has things inside that the Lord wants to take out. He wants to pull out. Because I'm satisfied. I've had situations over the years. I've talked with people. I've watched people sit by the bedside, pray with the dying, see what the Lord is doing with them, send the enemy come in and try at the very last moment to steal and kill and destroy. And seen a brother who was fighting in that battle, watched how the enemy came in. I was in there in the room, on the bed, praying, crying before the Lord. We rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And I've seen the Lord come in and quiet and calm a situation. Folks, we're dealing with the real enemy. But the Lord uses every one of those stages of life to help us to find out who God really is. So we can hold on. He's trying to burn out the dross. He's trying to teach us along the way. And I thank God for it. Now, the Apostle Paul said this in the book of Philippians. I love the Apostle Paul's writings. The Apostle Paul is a giant to me. Paul was a man that was very established in his faith, in his belief. He gave his credentials in the Scripture. A Pharisee among the Pharisees, tribe of Benjamin, stock of Israel, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, as touching the law, blameless. Couldn't put anything to his charge. But he said, I count all that as loss, because I found Christ. Now the Apostle Paul was a man who was a very intelligent man, very educated man, very capable man. Very powerful man. The Scriptures say concerning him that his letters are weighty, but his bodily presence and his speech were contemptible. I don't know what all that meant. And I read his writings, I think of Paul as being a big, booming, tall, thundering voice. But maybe he was a real short, dumpy, bald-headed guy that had a squeaky voice and couldn't hardly get people's attention. But he had something from the Lord. He had some things from the Lord. He had some answers from the Lord. The Lord used the Apostle Paul. He guided him. He taught him. And here's what he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Hear these words, the Apostle Paul says. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. How many times have you heard this, let us follow on to perfection? Have you ever been depressed at hearing being perfect? I have. Because to me, something that's perfect can't be improved upon. How do you fix something that's perfect? Either we're already perfect, But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the Lord has for you and me. I understand, the Apostle Paul understood, he realized that he didn't have everything yet. He realized that there were still things to learn. He said, I don't count myself to have apprehended it all. I certainly haven't made it inside of God's heaven. And I don't say that I'm all perfect. Although that he was, at the point of this stage, in this phase of his life, mature, spiritually mature, young people, at this phase, at this stage of your life, if you have given your heart to the Lord and you have asked the Lord to sanctify you, you are perfect. Scratch your head on that. You are mature, spiritually mature in your age bracket. Spiritually mature in the area in which the Lord is working with you. Because you can't possibly understand what it's like to have children of your own. You can't possibly understand what it's like to have grandchildren of your own. But when life goes on and you continue through life and you begin to go into those areas of your life, if you remain true to the Lord, you will become more mature as you go. And the piety, please don't think I'm trying to make fun, but the piety that we have now, if you'll be true to the Lord, you'll look back in your life and you will be able to see how the Lord has led you into a place. And I'll speak only for myself, I'll not speak for you. But as I have looked back in my own life and things that I thought that I understood, and I made mention of that here in the meeting, I became ashamed of myself because I thought I knew and I just didn't know. The Apostle Paul again says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this is what I do. I keep pressing forward. I keep looking forward. I keep moving forward. I don't turn around and go the other way. I keep pressing. And then he says in the fourth chapter, in the 11th verse, not that I speak in respect of want. And here's a little phrase that really stands out to me. For I have learned. I have learned. Oh, may the Lord help us to not think that I have already learned everything there is to know. Remember what Jesus said? I have many things to say to you, but you can't receive it now. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. At one point the Apostle Paul reached a phase in his life where he said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. The Lord had brought him finally to a place where apparently the Apostle Paul could see the handwriting on the wall, and he knew it was soon to be the time that he was going to leave this old world. He said, I'm ready. I've made it my aim to follow the Lord. I have learned. He has taught me along the way. Folks, one of the most wonderful blessings you'll ever have in life is to put yourself on the altar before the Lord and let Him teach you. Let Him guide you. When you young people stand up here and you sing these songs as you have done in this meeting, thank God for you. Thank God for you. He is able to take those areas of your life and enlarge you. He's able to use you in His service for the place that He has called you. This area, standing behind this pulpit, singing these songs, it makes a difference in a meeting. Your presence makes a difference in a meeting. It makes an impact on other people. It makes an impact on adults. It encourages. It gives life. It's a part of the process. And I want to assure you, if you maintain a relationship with Him and you remain true to Him as you go through life, you will continue to learn. You'll continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. You'll continue to enlarge. And He'll use some of you. He will use you for doing greater things than that. He knows what He wants to do. He has in His listing of the gifts, one is a gift of helps. Helps. Have you ever needed someone to help you? Just someone to help you. Have you ever been in a place where you needed someone to, I wish I had somebody to hold this board so I could reach down and I don't want to lose my place. Reach down and get the screw gun or the nail gun or what, and so I could get it, just something to hold it. If I just had help. You can't underestimate the power of help. Being willing to be used of the Lord as a help. That's part of what the Lord has in His plan, in His Holy Spirit. Sanctification, consecration, dedication. All of those things lumped into one. And I will assure you this. When you put yourself on the altar before the Lord, you put yourself in a place to be used of Him. I want to be filled with Your Spirit. I want to be sanctified. I want to be consecrated. That's when we're able to be used of the Lord for whatever purpose He has for you. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Continue on. Grow in grace. And remember what the Apostle Paul says. Folks, we cannot underestimate these words. He said, "For I have learned." I have learned. As you go through life and the Lord allows some of those experiences to come your way, I assure you, if you're faithful to Him, sometimes the fire will get hot. But it's only because the Lord loves you and He's trying to get some more of that dross to come to the top, to skim it off. And He wants your life, your voice, your testimony to have a ring to it. When you're meeting with your fellow man and you're talking to your fellow man by the wayside, wherever it may be, but the Lord has been working with you, teaching you, guiding you, instructing you, that when you speak to your fellow man, it'll have a ring to it. There'll be something backing it up. And your fellow man can pick that up. I'm sure that you've probably been in that place where you have bumped into somebody in a place of business or on the street or an acquaintance somewhere, struck up an acquaintance with someone somewhere, and when you walked away, you realized, you know, they had something. They had something. Something that they could impart to me. It's God's business. He wants us to have that. As I said earlier, we can complicate salvation. We can complicate sanctification. We can complicate all of these things. What the Lord wants us to do is remember, one, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Simple. Simple, plain English. And He doesn't want... Let me say it this way. For many years, I worked for a major delivery company. And we were given driving lessons, driving tips, safety tips all the time. One of the tips that they would give us on a regular basis is, don't outdrive your lights. Don't outdrive your lights. In other words, don't drive faster than what distance you can see to get stopped in and react in. If you're trying to go through life and you're trying to, in your spiritual walk, outdrive your lights, so to speak, it's going to become frustrating to you and you can set yourself up for an accident. But if you'll just stay in the bounds of God's Word and the light that He gives to you, that He infuses to you, oh folks, the Lord, His plan works. It works. And He wants to infuse light into us. And as He does that and you work and move and operate in that light that God has given you, you can be successful. You can make it. And you'll look back over your life at some point and you can say like the Apostle Paul, I have learned. And I thank God that He was willing to teach me Amen. I appreciate your time and attention this evening.